Welcome to Catalyst. So glad you're here today. I'm excited because we have a first-time speaker in our church. Back in the fall, some of you have met them. The two Alboron families started coming to our church, and Tony and Darlene, and then their brother, Richard and Joanna. So they started coming to our church, and the very first day they came, they were just checking out a church, and they really sensed the Lord's presence here. And so they asked to meet with me right after church, and they shared their story with me. And ever since, it's been such a blessing to have you guys in your church, in our church, part of our church family, and just getting to know them over since that time, getting to know all of them, and in particular, getting to know Tony. And I could see him sharing his background, his story at his previous church, their previous church. Tony has spoken many, many times regularly in their church. And I could see just from his heart, things he would share. And then he joined one of my men's small group, getting to know him better there too, meeting with him a couple times. I could really see God's call on his life. God's call on his life, his gift of teaching. And so I had in the back of my mind, okay, got to get this guy in the pulpit sometime, but wanted to give them an opportunity just to, you know, settle into our church, get to know our church family, receive some healing from some of the things they've gone through, and get to know our church culture. And so a couple months ago, I was talking to Tony, said, hey, well, you want to speak this summer? And he said, yeah. And so just excited to have him share with our church family. And so he's going to come in and speak. So Tony Alboron!
Thank you, sir. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Barry. Start off this morning, but just by thanking all of you for your love and acceptance of me and my family. Everything that we've gone through, I know many here know the story, but we did come into the church loving the Lord, understanding that God is sovereign and that God rules and reigns over every circumstance and situation. But we were hurting, and we were looking for a place that we can come and just find the presence of the Lord and just come and be fed and encouraged and strengthened and rebuilt. And God brought us here. So thank you, Catalyst, so much for allowing us to be a part of the family, being a part of this church. From, like I shared, from day one, the love and the acceptance that we received when we walked in through those doors. And a lot of times we don't understand as ministry workers, as people that serve in the house of God, the impact we have with the small things. So just thank you again for your love and support for our family. It's meant so much to us. So thank you. Thank you so much. Would like to thank Pastor Barry and the pastors and the leadership of the church for allowing me to be able to minister God's word here this morning. I do not take it lightly. It is an honor and privilege to be a mouthpiece of the Lord, an instrument, a tool, something that he can use just to be able to speak his word. And I appreciate the fact that he would notice me, that God would see me and allow me to do this morning. Amen? Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we just come before you. We just thank you, first and foremost, God, for salvation. We thank you, Lord, that you have saved us, that you have sanctified us, Lord. We thank you that you have called us and you have chosen us. We thank you, God, that your hand has been upon us. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the truth of your word. Precious Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place, and we ask that you would speak to our minds and our hearts, that you illuminate your word, God, into our lives this morning, that you would encourage us, strengthen us, and challenge and steer us as we look into your word, God. I decrease that you may increase, knowing that this is all of you and none of me, and we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. If I put a title on the message this morning, I put a title that says, The Walls We Build. And if you would look with me at the book of Joshua, chapter 6, I kind of want to use this portion of scripture as kind of a springboard into what I would like to talk about and what we would like to look at in the Word of God this morning. So I was thinking the other day, I was listening not too long ago, actually, to a podcast that I listen to and normally listen to. It's a Christian podcast. And they were talking about a revival that appeared to be taking place in Silicon Valley, where we know where all the tech things are going on and all this different stuff is happening in that section of California, that there appeared to be a revival that was taking place that people were really excited about. But what they were finding was that people were going to church and people were having this form of Christianity, but they were not really experiencing who Jesus truly is. And what they were finding there was that that people were having a church-like encounter, but minus Jesus. They were looking to spiritual things. They were looking to like new age things. They wanted a spiritual encounter, but they didn't want they weren't really looking for the true gospel. So in that situation, and I begin to think, I go, how sad is it that we can come into a house of the Lord, encounter the presence of God, hear the word of the Lord, and yet not really encounter who Jesus really is, or encounter his love or his true power, forgiveness, his redemption power in our lives. So I was thinking about that, and I said, you know what? I go, that's just so much that how can we miss that? And I began to pray and ask God and just go over the thoughts in my mind. And what the Lord had put upon my heart was that so many times people put walls. Now, just say this morning is that if I get a little excited, I'm sorry. I got a little Pentecostal in me, and sometimes I get a little happy and excited. So if I do, I'm sorry. I just got to warn you ahead of time, okay? So the book of Joshua, chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, just the first two verses, says, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor.'" That God was promising the children of Israel a victory. Amen. So in this portion of scripture, we find the children of Israel facing the first major battle as they entered in the promised land. It's a beautiful situation. We know the story that God's going to do something powerful for the children of Israel, that God's going to move and give them a victory over the first enemy that they're facing as they stepped into their promised land. How many of you know when you gave your heart to Christ, some people believe when they came to Christ that everything was just going to be perfect, that everything was like, I'm a Christian now, all my problems are going to go away, all my debt's going to disappear, right? The kids are going to start acting perfect, marriage is going to be wonderful, my boss is going to love me, they're going to give me that big raise and promotion, all my problems are going to go away. And how many of you guys know that's not what happened? So sometimes we come to the house of the Lord and we give our heart to Christ, and then all of a sudden there's still trials. There's still hardships. There's still ups and downs that we face or that we go through when we come to Christ, and we're kind of confused because they said that Jesus is the answer, that Jesus is the one that's going to heal and redeem, that he fixes all our problems, but, you know, life is still life, right? So the walls of Jericho that the children of Israel were facing, if you were to kind of do a little historical study, they were unique walls for that period of time. They normally didn't make walls that large. They estimated anywhere from 3 to 4 stories high that these walls were. And they estimate them to be at the base at least a minimum of 6 feet wide. They were thick walls. They were layered walls. There were two different embankments of walls that the children of Israel were going to have to try to fight through. So this was unique in that time of history. So when we think of walls, so many times, amen, that they are beneficial, right? Walls are beneficial. Right now, it's getting warm outside, and you have walls with air conditioning. It's great, right? Because it keeps you cool. When it's cold outside and there's walls, they act as warmth and protection from the wind. How many know you just don't build walls around nothing, but you put walls around things that are valuable and precious? We build up walls to separate one room from another. We put up walls to protect what is valuable and more the most precious things that we have in our lives. We build walls around them, right? I mean, we just don't sleep out in the open and just have our families out there. We go into our homes. Walls have many valuable functions. The picture I want to draw for us today is like the children of Israel coming into the promised land. We, having received salvation, find ourselves somehow facing walls in our lives. Still, it seems like we progress and come against a point and we kind of bump up against it and we try to push through and we have to kind of try to break through those things that are facing in our lives, and we kind of find a place of hesitation sometimes. But so many times, these walls that we find in our lives, these walls are that are built up over the years of our lives. Each section of wall representing different situations, moments, and circumstances. I always think about the story of my youngest brother, my baby brother, when he was little. He was had to be 2 or 3 years old at the time, and I was watching. I was probably like 13. And you ever do it with the baby, like, I got your nose? You ever do that? I went up to him, and I was playing that with him, and I go, look, I got your nose. And he's looking, and I pretend like I threw it. Oh, your nose is gone. And he started screaming hysterically. He really thought I took his nose and threw it. He was freaking out. And I was like, no, I'm playing, look, it's in my pocket. And I, you know, pretend like I put it back on his face. And I was thinking about that because kids are so, they just believe us. But over time, they realize, no, you really didn't take my nose, right? No, it's not really in the behind your back. No, it's not, you know, you're playing the trick on me. But so many times in our lives, it's like that, right? Different circumstances that we face and different situations that we go through in our lives, we find ourselves that we build these walls up that for protection. We put up these walls that say, I can't just touch the fire on the stove. Why? Because it hurts. So anytime you get close to the heat, what do? We jolt our hand back. Or when a child first realizes that when they run out on the street, they can get hit by a car. That these fast-moving vehicles, that now they hesitate and they're fearful that I don't want to step out because they've built this wall in their mind. They're knowing that if I step and cross over this line, I could get hurt. But so many times in our lives, we built these walls because we go through different circumstances and we find it hard to trust. People in our lives disappoint us. People in our lives let us down. People in our lives, they promise us that they'll always be there and they'll always be by your side, and then they're not there anymore. For whatever circumstance or situation, and we put these walls up in our lives. And so many times we have relationships with people, and sometimes parents, mothers or fathers or grandparents, uncles or aunts, or we have these relationships with them. And we love them and we trust them and we understand those relationships are so precious and valuable and they mean the world to us, but then they let us down. They disappoint us, and they maybe aren't as what they claim to be for our lives. Or maybe there's a violation that takes place, a hurt, a pain, something happens that causes us to build this wall where we no longer trust, we're scared to let people in to see the deep things in our lives. Perhaps a relationship where you love somebody and you had your heart broken. And you were there with them, and you loved them with everything that you had, and then they broke your heart. Maybe they left you, maybe they cheated, or whatever it was that relationship became broken. So now the next relationship we come across, it takes us a little longer to let them in. It takes us a little longer to reach out our hand and embrace them. These are the different walls that we put up in our lives. Because of these, we use the walls as protection and safety. But we find ourselves in a very particular, peculiar situation as believers of Christ because he wants in. Because now we're inviting him into our life and Jesus wants in. In the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and him with me. Beautiful portion of scripture. The scripture so many times is used to minister to the lost. The scripture so many times is used to address those who are not Christians to say, look, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. He wants to come into your life. But if you look at the context of Revelation chapter 3, he's talking to the church of Laodicea. He is talking to believers. He is talking to Christians, believers that follow him and know his word. He's saying, I'm standing at the door and knock. I am knocking. When Jesus says, behold, in the Greek, in this portion of scripture, don't worry, I'm not going to try to say the Greek word. But it basically tells us to pay close attention. Look, see. You know, hey, look at this. Delilah, you know, my daughter, always does that to me all the time. Tony, look. Look what I have, Tony. Look what I did. Look. And no matter what I'm doing, I have to stop what I'm doing to pay attention to what she's telling me, no matter how little it is. Draw your attention. Jesus is saying, look, behold, listen to what I'm about to say. He says, I want in. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The question that we are to ask ourselves today is, do we find ourselves struggling to make to take the experiences we have here in our church, in our services, into our everyday lives? How many of you guys know when the presence of God, man, I love coming to church. I love coming to the house of God. I come in and the presence of the Lord is here. We're worshiping. We're praising God. God's moving. You're seeing God touch. The word of God's being spoken to our lives. And man, we're having a good time, right? So far this morning, the kids were jumping around, hopping around. They're having fun. Everybody's worshiping the Lord. But then it kind of seems sometimes that it just stops at the door. Sometimes it seems that when we make it down the stairs and we go through those two doors, that's as far as it goes. And so many times, I don't know about you, but for me, I want to feel that same joy and have that same experience on a Monday morning when I'm heading to work, or on Tuesday afternoon, or a Wednesday in the midweek where you're trying to just get over the hump and try to make it to the weekend, and it's hot and you're struggling and the boss is on your case and you got groceries to buy and bills to pay and the car's acting, driving funny and all these things are going on. I want to be able to experience the power and the presence of the Lord even during those times. We want to be able to take our church experience, the experiences that we have here together as the body of Christ, into our everyday lives, whether it's in our jobs or at school or at work or in our homes or wherever the case is that we go throughout our days. We want the presence and power of God there as well. Perhaps this morning you are newer to the faith and you find yourself bumping up against a wall wondering, is there more? Is this all there is to Christianity? This one small experience for an hour or two in the house of God, is there more? Or maybe we who are older in the faith just find ourselves going through the motions of our Christianity. We checked the box. We came to the house of the Lord. We made it. We showed up. We shook hands. We gave some hugs. We listened. We lifted our hands. And then we just went home. Perhaps we're just going, sometimes we can find ourselves just going through the mode because we know this is what we're supposed to be doing. We know this is what God has called us to do, and we know this is what Christians do, but we find ourselves just going through the motions, but we're bumping up against the wall. These are the questions that we have to ask ourselves and look into our hearts this morning and say, Lord, where am I? What's really going on? Because there's ups, there's downs, there's busy, all the different things that we go through in life. Jesus commands us in the Gospel of Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. He says, and you shall love the Lord with just a piece of your heart. It's not what it says, huh? It says, you shall love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. This is the first commandment. Jesus is telling us here, he gives us the commandment that God says you are to love me with everything that you have, every part of you, every piece of you, everything that is inside of you, every part of your life, your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, your strength, everything that you are to love. We are to love the Lord and we are to serve him, that God wants all of us or none of us. God wants everything. In the book of Psalms, chapter 139, David writes, beginning in verse 23, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Some translations say thoughts. Know my thoughts. Know my heart. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. I know David is saying here, God, search my heart. God, search my mind. Search my thoughts. Search my life and see what's there. And I know we see that word wicked and automatically we just assume the most wrong thing. But the Bible tells us, for him who knows to do right and does not it, to him it is sin. And all his sin is just missing the mark, the standard that God has set. So if God commands us to love him with everything that we have and everything that we are, every single piece and part of us, if that's the commandment of God and we're holding back an area, we're missing the mark. We're missing something. Something's off. And that's why sometimes I know in my life when I've experienced this place where I've just kind of going through the rut and just kind of going through the grind and kind of just going through things in my Christianity, that there's something that's just not lining up in my personal relationship with God. Maybe my prayer life isn't exactly the way it should be. Maybe when I get up and I pray, it's just a quick motion that I go through, but not really sitting down and seeking the face and the heart of God. Or just talking to my Father and saying, Father, here I am. What do you have for me today? What is it that you want to speak to me about? What is it that you have for me? What is it that I'm missing, Father? Speak to my life. This is what David is saying. God, search me. God, I'm here, Lord. Look into my life. What is there? What's lacking? What's missing inside of me? The Bible is challenging us to allow God into every part and place in our hearts and lives, to leave no corner untouched, unsearched, and unexposed. But if you are anything like me, this is easier said than done. We may say, I have built these walls in my life to protect these areas, and now you are asking me just to open the doors and lay them all out. You may look at me today and say, Tony, how can I trust the one whom I can't see with all the when all the ones that I could see have taken advantage of my trust and broken it? You may say today, Tony, I understand what you're asking me to do, but how can I trust and open up to something I cannot see, something I can't touch or smell or experience with my senses, when all those that I could have taken advantage and broken that trust? It's hard many times to open up. Why? Because somebody might see what's going on in there. Can God see the shame and the embarrassment of my faults and failures? Can God see the shame and the ugliness of the hurt and violation that was in my life? Jesus says to all of us, I know. Jesus sees and Jesus knows all those areas in our lives. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. And this is kind of the main point of what I want to bring out this morning, what I want to say, is that in this particular point, the writer of Hebrews is telling us that we can trust Jesus with whatever it is that we're going through in our lives. That God sees those things that went on in the dark, that no one else sees, that nobody else knows, that we don't talk about, that we don't bring up, that we come to the house of God and we put on our Christian face. God bless you. Good to see you. It's awesome to see you today. How's everything? Great. Good. Right? Pastor Barry walks up. How are you? Oh, Pastor Barry, I'm wonderful. Everything is great. Everything's awesome. The Lego movie. Right? But the reality is there are things that we have filed away in our hearts and in our lives that are deep, that we don't like to talk about. Perhaps there's some sin in our lives, that things that we have committed. Yeah, we confess them to God and we understand that Jesus forgives everything. That's the beauty of the cross. Jesus, forgive me for my sins, and he does. But still, there's the shame that sits in our hearts of hearts that we don't share and that we're afraid to bring to his feet, because is God going to love me less because of what I did? No. Is God going to take his presence away from me because of the mistake that I made? No. But we go through these things in our lives and we build these walls, and Jesus is there knocking, says, come in. And we let him in to a certain extent. We take him to one section of our lives and say, God, you can have all this over here. You can go ahead, take it. But then he says, I want to come over here and I want this over here. We're like, well, God, let's not look behind that door. Right? You ever do that? Someone comes over unexpectedly. Oh, come in, come in, come in. And you're telling the kids, go close the doors, go close the bedroom doors. Right? Close the bathroom door, close the bathroom door, close the bathroom door. Because maybe we haven't got to that section of the house yet. It's the same thing. God comes and says, I'm here and I want in. But it's hard to trust. It's hard to have faith. It's hard to say, God, here it is. But the beauty is, and what I want to encourage, what God wants to encourage us with today, is that God says, I can handle it. Jesus says, I know, I see it, I can take it. You can trust me with it. I'm not going to let you down. God says, I'm not going to lie to you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says that even if our parents forsake us, God's going to be faithful to us. He would always be by our sides, that there's nothing that could separate us from the love of God. There's nothing there that could separate us from God's love. That's how much he loves us. And the crazy, wild thing is that everything is exposed. God sees everything. God already knows. But the beauty of God is he's a gentleman, right? He knocks and says, give it to me. I'll take it from you. But we have to surrender it. We have to place it in his hands. We can trust him to handle the most delicate of areas in our lives. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 3, talking about the faithful servant of God, a prophecy about who Christ is to be for us. It says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. I remember the first time I heard this scripture, it was in a season in my life where there was, if I could just be transparent and honest, I've been through a lot of church hurt. You guys ever been through any church hurt? Right? We've been through some. Churches could sometimes disappoint us. Because at the end of the day, we're just people. I heard someone say one time that men are just men at best. Right? Men are just men at best. So sometimes we get let down. We get disappointed. And again, this was years ago that another situation like was going on, and I was listening to a pastor preaching, and he was talking about this portion of scripture, and he was talking about the gentleness of God. And we were in a church in Highland Park, and he was ministering to this small church, and then he made a time of ministry, like an altar call for people to come get prayed for at the end. And as a whole message, he was talking about the gentleness of God, how God can handle the most gentle things in our lives and the gentle touch of God and the gentle love of the Lord. And when they did this and he asked anybody need prayer to come up, it was nothing but men that came up to the front. Right? And my fellas, my dudes, my bros, my guys, right? We're good at this, aren't we? We're good at putting up the wall. I'm good. I don't cry. I'm all right. We have to be strong. There's nothing wrong in that. We have to be strong for our families. We have to be strong to show them that we don't break, we don't crumple, we don't fall apart, that we can handle the weight. Why? Because we're men, and that's what God called us to do. But the truth and the reality is sometimes we use that to a fault, right? Because the reality is, as men, we hurt too. As men, we struggle also. We struggle in our hearts sometimes when we get up in the morning, we look in the mirror, right? Not as fit as I used to be. Not as cool as I thought I was. Right? Things hurt. I can't play basketball the way I used to. I barely make it up the stairs. Forget trying to run a marathon. Right? But there's things in our lives. We've been disappointed by our fathers. We've been disappointed by our friends and our buddies. Or maybe a little something your wife says that, you pretend like it's nothing, but, ooh, that hurt. And we hide it, and we shelter it because we're good at building walls. We're good at protecting ourselves from being hurt. We're good at protecting ourselves from not allowing things in, but the reality is behind that wall, God is saying, I see my son. I see what you're going through. I understand the pain. And we probably still won't shed tears. I think about my grandpa. Never cried for anything. When his sons died, he showed up to the funeral. Oh, he got mad at everybody because they were crying. But your son was just murdered. How could you not weep over your son? But that's, Albrons don't cry. But the reality is there's hurts that happen. The question that we have to ask ourselves again today is, can I open up and allow God to see who I really am? And yes, you can trust him with your fears, with your doubts. You can trust him with those things that you went through, the hurts, the pains, the ups and the downs, whatever it is this morning. God, I believe, is speaking and even showing us this morning those areas of our lives. And whatever those are, God's pointing them out. Why? Because he's telling you today, that's what I want to take from you today. That's what I want. Open up to me for that, because I'll take care of that for you. I'll handle that for you. It's not too big, and you know what? It's not too small. The scar is not too deep. The pain is not too great. The shame isn't too dark for him to take and carry for us. This prophecy of the servant is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 18 after Jesus heals a man in the church with a withered hand. In this imagery, a bruised or broken reed represents those who are weak, fragile, or oppressed, while a smoldering wick symbolizes a life or spirit that is nearly extinguished but has potential. The verse emphasizes that God's chosen servant will act with gentleness and mercy, not with harshness or destruction. It's telling us that Jesus will come and handle those things with the care that it deserves, the care that it needs. Lastly, I want to leave you with this verse. In the book of Zechariah chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, it says, "And there was the angel who talked with me going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him, who said to him, 'Run, speak to the young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls because the multitude of men and livestock in it. For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst.'" What God is saying, look, you can't build walls around what I want to do in your life. The blessing and healing and things I want to do for you. You cannot build walls big enough and large enough and wide enough to contain and hold what he has for us. But the key is here. He says, I will be the walls. God will be our protection. God will be the one that will preserve us. God will be the one that keeps us from getting hurt. God will be the one that will stand in the gap. We don't have to build our own walls anymore. It's not relying upon our own strength anymore. God's saying, I'm going to be your walls. I'm going to be your protector. I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to be your provider. I'm going to be the one who handles you and holds you and carries you through everything that you go through. God is saying, this is who I'm going to be for you, and I will be the glory in your midst, that when people see us, they will know, man, there's something different about him. There's something different about her. There's something special about that person's life. It'll be the glory of God that is in our midst. Why? Because the entirety of who we are will be healed. The entirety of us will be restored. The entirety of whoever we are on the deep down secret things in our lives will be removed. And the beauty of the Lord will shine through us. That's the glory of God. Let's pray as the worship team comes up. Father, we come before you this morning again, and we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that nothing is hidden from your sight, that you see all things, you know all things, Lord. And I pray for those this morning, God, who are here now or will hear later, that as you speak and you woo them with your spirit to those things that are in our lives that are hidden, that are deep, the walls that we've built up, Lord, that you would bring them down. And we pray, Father, that you will become our walls, that you would become our protection and our shield, our secret hiding place, that you will be who and what we run to and hide behind when the hardships and troubles of life come. Knowing, Father, that you will not fail us, that you will not let us down. You won't forsake us. You won't leave us. You won't abandon us. You won't go back on your promises. You won't go back on your word. You will always be there for us. And we turn over to you this morning those things in our lives. We turn over to you this morning those deep things in our hearts, God, that you are pulling on, that you're nudging for, and we surrender them to you. Search us. Look deep down inside of us, Lord. Heal us, restore us, redeem us, wash us, cleanse us. Remove those things, God, for we surrender them to you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, and we invite you in Jesus' name.